Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Rob Hess, Commissioner of the New York City Department of Homeless Services. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Shelley Mills Brinkley. Rob, New York City has become synonymous with emergency response and the lessons learned from the 9/11 disaster. Could you elaborate on your efforts to plan and prepare for future emergency situations? Specifically, how is New York City preparing to deliver homeless and social services in the event of a natural or a man-made disaster? And what are some of the key lessons learned from previous experiences that are being brought to bear in your planning?
You know, that's a really loaded question in so many ways. I think in the post-Katrina era, especially in the post-9/11 era, but more so the post-Katrina era, local jurisdictions have realized that we may not always be able to rely for initial response as quickly as we might like from, say, the federal government. And I don't mean that as a criticism of any federal agency. Having said that, the mayor here, Mayor Bloomberg, has tasked us to be able to provide initial support to New Yorkers in the event of any natural or other disaster that might occur. And so our department has worked very closely with the Office of Emergency Management and other city departments, especially social service departments, to craft a plan whereby we could house in the worst case emergency, which frankly I hope we never have to unveil, but we could house up to 600,000 New Yorkers after an event. And we would do that by opening up to 65 evacuation centers, up to 511 shelters, and providing meals and support safely to over 600,000 New Yorkers. Now, I think if we did that, our shelter system would be the 16th or 17th largest city in America. And so, again, we certainly hope that we'd never have to do that, but we are training city employees to be able to meet that mission should it ever become necessary. And so what does that mean? That means we have to train about 70,000 New York employees. We would need 17,000 employees on every shift, and we would have 12-hour shifts for as long as an event were to last. We've had to begin stockpiling supplies, work very closely with the Department of Education to figure out what schools we could use, and with the police for security and all the rest. And so it is a huge, huge planning and logistical undertaking that the mayor has tasked us to do. And again, working with OEM and other city agencies, we're well on the way to getting there. We've trained thousands of city staff just in the last 3 or 4 months. And so we view it as a coastal storm plan response, but it can be rolled out for any emergency. One of the interesting things that I learned in this process is that New York City is one of the three most likely targets to a major Category 3 or 4 storm. Who knew? I certainly didn't. After, I guess, Florida and New Orleans, New York City is the most likely place that such a storm could hit. And so we're preparing for that, but we also understand that we have responsibility on any other event. And so we're training now all the time. In fact, we'll be sending a contingent from DHS along with other New York City contingents to California to work on the sheltering system there around the on the wildfire that occurred there. And so we will continue to look for other training opportunities around the country and benefit from that knowledge as well to inform how we will meet the mayor's goal of being able to house New Yorkers here in the event of a catastrophe.
Let's hope that we never need to activate that plan. An independent research organization called Public Agenda recently released a report entitled Compassion, Concern, and Conflicted Feelings, New Yorkers on Homelessness and Housing. First, what are some of the key findings in this report? And second, to what extent does this independent research firm confirm that you're on the right track or need to go in a different direction?
Well, this is a very interesting report. I mean, largely what they found was that New Yorkers are with us. New Yorkers support the resources, the work that we're doing to help end homelessness. They think ending homelessness is the right approach. And they also think that people that are experiencing homelessness have to take some personal responsibility as well. And so if we create guidelines for coming in to apply for shelter and other things, the public supports that. But at the end of the day, the public, based upon this report, sort of confirms that they're willing to put extra resources, extra time, extra energy into their neighbors that are less fortunate, and provide great services that end homelessness, but there also has to be a balance. And the balance is on the side of some personal responsibility being accepted by those that are receiving those benefits.
Speaking about compassion and concern, I'd like to turn our attention here for a minute to the veterans. And I know you spoke earlier about what you did previously in working with the veterans population in Maryland. According to the National Coalition of Homeless Veterans, NCHV, veterans returning from active duty often face an array of problems during the transition from military to civilian life, which places them at risk for homelessness. Would you elaborate on the programs you have in place here in the city to address the homeless veterans?
Look, I am just so proud of our mayor and then VA Secretary Nicholson, who came together last December and said, we're going to end the need for any veteran in New York City to need to sleep on our streets or to enter our shelter system. The mayor asked me to co-chair a task force on this issue, with Jim Farsetta, who is our VA regional director. And I have to say that Jim and his staff are just great partners, work together with us very closely. We'll before long begin rolling out the strategies that we believe before the end of this mayor's administration will eliminate the need for any veteran to sleep on our streets or any veteran to sleep in our shelter system. We can do better than that, and we should. We owe it to those veterans, and I know the Veterans Administration is committed to that. I know the mayor is committed to that, and so this administration will work with the VA to get that done, and we're just very proud of those efforts. What a tragedy that any veteran who serves this nation would now walk our streets. We just have to do better than that. We will in the city.
Thank you. When you're talking about any of these populations, a lot of times they need multiple types of services in order to end their homeless situation. Would you elaborate on your working relationship with other city social services agencies, such as the city's Human Resource Administration and Department of Social Services? You talked earlier about working with child welfare. That would be under the Administration of Children's Services. Can you talk about the collaboration and coordination of services?
Yeah, let me do that in kind of two ways. First, let me take you back to the encampment discussion we had earlier. What I didn't spend much time on was I talked about the 6 months it took us to eliminate the encampments. What I didn't talk about is the 3 months prior to that, it took us to get 12 city and state departments working together to figure out how we were going to deal with these encampments in a humane social service oriented way. But we did that, brought city and state departments as diverse as the Department of Transportation, Department of Sanitation, police, fire, parks, and others together in a coordinated way, and that effort continues to this day. And so we can be very proud of that in this city, and it's an example of how these really are intergovernmental efforts. With respect to social services, we're very fortunate in this city to have a deputy mayor for social services, Linda Gibbs, who under her leadership, all the social service commissioners report to, and we work very closely with each other as a result. And so there's really no issue that can't be talked about or dealt with or strategies created across departments. For example, when we created our new Advantage subsidy programs, not only do our clients benefit from that, but Human Resources Administrative clients that are in domestic violence facilities can benefit from that. There are some families that are identified by ACS that benefit from that. And so we try to do things collaboratively across agencies in a way that you don't always see. And I really would say that the mayor creating a deputy mayor position for that purpose has really made a big difference in the city.
Wonderful. So talk to me a little bit about the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act. Is that a tool that you use as well in ending homelessness?
It's a very important tool. Now, that, as you know, that's one of the primary funding sources for homeless services across this nation. And so we use it well. I mean, here we use it to renew programs that are working in our community. But we also use any additional dollars we're able to scrape together out of that competition to fund supportive services for all of our supportive housing programs. You know, the mayor here committed to adding 12,000 units of supportive housing across the city over a 10-year period. Well, the bricks and mortar is one piece to that. But then you need the service side. You need to be able to provide the service dollars to support all the families and individuals that will be in that supportive housing. And we use the shelter plus care portions of the McKinney funding in order to do that. And so it's a very important funding source for us.
Now, Rob, you're obviously engaged in solving a very complex and multidimensional issue. And you spoke earlier about coordinating multiple city agencies and organizations. But perhaps you could elaborate on the kinds of public-private partnerships that you engage to improve outcomes. And in what areas would you like to perhaps either enhance or expand these types of public-private collaborations?
Well, you know, there's just that's such a broad question. There's so many things we could areas we could take that down. But let me say to begin with that much of what we do through contracts with nonprofit providers. And in New York City, we have some of the best nonprofit providers in the country, I think. That makes our job much easier when you can reach out and contract with a provider you know is going to get the job done. Those providers also have boards of directors that have high-level leaders from across our city. And so they're being informed through their membership on boards of directors of nonprofits. And that education is very important to us because then as we reach out to the business community and others, they have a much keener understanding of what we're trying to accomplish and how they might be able to help us in a variety of ways. And so I think that's very important. You know, in this city, the mayor has created the Commission on Poverty to be able to reduce the level of poverty across the city and do some very creative things with respect to cash incentives. And so the foundation and the private sector has stepped up in a very big way to support this particular initiative of the mayor so that we can try some new and innovative things that have worked in Mexico and other places in order to reduce the poverty rate in our city. And so all of that helps us. And so there's just so many of these relationships. I mean, government, the best of governments can't do very much by itself. We really need the public support. We really need the nonprofit community working closely with us in support of our goals. We really need the business community, the foundation community, the academic community, all working toward common visions when you have visions that are as bold and aggressive as we have in this city.
That's fantastic. What does the future hold for the New York City Department of Homeless Services? We will ask Robert Hess, Commissioner of the New York City Department of Homeless Services, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.